States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable William Foreman presiding. All about business before this court drawn near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'm Judge Mullen. To my right is Judge Lance. To my left is Judge Davis. We're here today in the matter of Frank E. Buzinski versus Eric K. Shinseki, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, docket number 08-3000. Would counsel for both parties please enter your appearance? Counsel for the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Todd Weshey, representative for Mr. Frank Buzinski.
Thank you. Counsel?
Good morning, Your Honors. Elizabeth Long for the Secretary, and with me is Deputy Assistant General Counsel Leslie Robin.
Very well. Counsel for the appellant, would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 10 minutes, please.
That will be reserved, and you may proceed.
May it please the Court. The Board of Veterans' Appeals erred when it denied a 50% disability rating for World War II veteran Frank Buzinski in his service-connected disability claim for his skin disability rated under Diagnostic Code 7806 as relevant to the period between January 4, 1995 and August 29, 2002.
Counsel, before we get fully into your argument, because of the filing yesterday, would you please succinctly state for the Court exactly what issues we're going to be dealing with, in your view?
Your Honors, I believe that the key question in this case is whether or not the Board provided an adequate statement of reasons or basis for its determination that Mr. Buzinski's skin condition was not exceptionally repugnant. For two different reasons, one of which is, as argued in my brief at page 7, that the Board's conclusion was conclusory and did not provide any explanation whatsoever for how it determined that Mr. Buzinski's condition was not exceptionally repugnant. And secondarily, based on the supplemental authorities that I filed with the Court, that the Board's decision does not comply with this Court's case law in Hood and McGee and Cox.
Mr. Weshey, can you flesh out your first thought just a little bit, please? The Board said the condition is not exceptionally repugnant, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And you would have them say what?
I would have the Board say that it's not exceptionally repugnant because it did not exhibit certain features. It was not visual on close examination. It was not oozing or bleeding. It was not in some characteristic that would be able to assess repugnancy from.
Didn't they say all of those things?
They cited to the September 1998 opinion, which I would advise the Court was actually a medical nexus opinion and not an opinion that was asked for by the Secretary to assess the repugnancy of Mr. Buzinski's skin condition, but rather whether or not that condition was related to his military service. But that as an aside, the Board here simply said that the September 1998 medical opinion did not say that his condition was exceptionally repugnant, and also then concluded that because his condition was not extensive and it was not exceptionally repugnant. It did not explain why it came to that conclusion, but basically just said it isn't.
Didn't they also analyze the results of the July 97 medical examination, the two other medical examinations that preceded those last two examinations, and lay out what was the medical determination in each of those with regard to the condition of the skin?
Yes, Your Honor, the Board did do that, and it noted that in the 97 examination his skin was dry and it was not fissured and features like that. But even though the 98 examination said that Mr. Buzinski's skin condition was, he had the skin that was fissured, he had oozing, he had bleeding, he had scaling skin, they don't explain why that itself is not exceptionally repugnant. And I draw the court's attention to the very definition of exceptionally repugnant, or at least repugnant, is that it's repulsive. And I would suggest to the court that if one was to view somebody's skin that was oozing and bleeding, that that at the very least is somewhat repugnant, if not exceptionally repugnant.
What if it wasn't normally visible?
Such as if it was covered by pants, you
know? Or socks and shoes.
Well, in this case, with Mr. Wyszynski's particular condition, it was bleeding and was oozing. Therefore, it was sucked in...
Well, let's be careful now, counsel. It was bleeding and oozing at the time of one examination.
That's right.
Correct? But they did not evidence those symptoms on the other occasions.
The other occasions, yes. But one could surmise that if someone has bleeding and oozing and other kinds of conditions like that on their skin, then that may seep out into the socks, may seep out into the pants, and certainly would become, if you allow me to be a little graphic here, may cause the pant legs to be soaked with those fluids. And may become,
we have no evidence of any of that in this record.
It is speculation, Your Honor, yes.
Well, Counselor, isn't the problem that this is a subjective test versus an objective test?
It is.
Whether it was exceptionally repugnant to you may not be exceptionally repugnant to counsel for the VA. And going back to my original question, it is not exceptionally repugnant because, I mean, what the board said was that it's not, right?
Yes.
Okay. But you would have them go on to say because it isn't very bad, or
in this case, or this court's case law in the Hood case, we had a very similar situation where the board basically said it isn't because we say it isn't, and that's language that the court used to describe the board's finding there. And then it went on to say that the board needs to explain why, in these kinds of circumstances, it made the subjective determination that it was not exceptionally repugnant. And that would be, in this case, the board very easily could have said, it is not exceptionally repugnant because it was not visible, or it was not exceptionally repugnant because upon close inspection it was a normal skin color and you could barely see the oozing or the fissuring or anything like that. But it didn't do that in this case. In this case, the board simply said it is not because I said it is not, without it giving any basis to why. And in fact, I would submit that although the court even though there is a subjective standard, the court would be hard-pressed to figure out how the board came to the ultimate conclusion without some explanation as to what it based that on, saying it's not exceptionally repugnant because of X, Y, and Z.
Counsel, just to be clear, on the your filing yesterday, you in essence concede that exceptionally repugnant is not a medical term and there's no need for a medical doctor to determine?
Correct, Your Honor. And that is based in large part on the Secretary's own federal regulation entries, Federal Register entries, where the Secretary, when revising the regulation into its current form, revised it to provide more objective standards for assessing a skin condition under 7806, noting that the prior standard, this one here, was subjective and extremely hard to apply.
How does your argument here square with what the court said in Cox, since I think you've already cited Cox?
In Cox, the court noted the board had actually gone as far as to explain why the condition, or the board had explained why the condition met the standard set forth, and I believe the psychiatric regulations in effect at the time, whether it was definite or moderate or worse to that effect. And it explained how they did that. In this case, the board never went that far. This case is more aligned with the Hood case than it is with the Cox case. So Cox actually stands for the same proposition as Hood, but it shows the two different approaches the board took and how the court responded to them.
This is a question that's been puzzling me a bit, and I'm curious to know what your reaction would be on assessing exceptional repugnance.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the kind of a factor that needs to have some visual evidence associated with it? Photographs?
In my initial arguments to the court, I had argued that the best way to assess repugnancy would be on visual inspection or through some kind of a color photograph that documents in some point in time what this condition looked like. As the secretary argued, it is an aesthetic condition. It's an aesthetic standard. And it's difficult to assess aesthetics from plain black and white text. But nonetheless, I believe that the board could look at the plain black and white text and assess that in its own mind's eye, whether or not that would rise to the level of exceptional performance for that particular board member.
Does a veteran have any obligation with regard to presenting evidence of exceptional repugnance?
The veteran has the ultimate responsibility of proving his claim, yes, Your Honor.
And is there any reason why the veteran in this instance could not have submitted, for instance, color photographs to the board?
He very well may have been able to do so, Your Honor. I believe that the record shows that upon receipt of the 1998 examination, that his representative at the time argued that the text of that examination rose to the level and demonstrated under the plain dictionary definition of repugnance that this was, in fact, exceptionally repugnant. And apparently at that time believed that additional evidence was not necessary. But I can't speak to that counsel's thinking at that time.
Does the board under our case law have an obligation, or the RO, have an obligation to rate based on a single examination, or does it have an obligation to look at the entire medical history?
If the board has the obligation to look at all of the pertinent evidence and to assess whether or not it's competent, whether it's probative, and et cetera. So in this case, the board properly did look at all the evidence. There's no contesting that. The question is, though, whether or not it based its ultimate decision properly and gave the adequate reasons for its decision, such that this court could, it would be facilitated with this court's review and be understandable to Mr. Frank Kruzinski, which is the standard of the Alday case.
Well, let me point you exactly to a portion of the board decision that concerns me, and it begins on record 8 and goes over to record 9. And the board there says the medical evidence of record, including both examination reports and treatment notes, does not show any findings of ulceration or extensive exfoliation or crusting with systemic or nervous manifestations. In fact, although the skin of the feet was described as you've described it, fissured, oozing, bleeding, excoriated, and scaling in September 98, on VA examination of the feet in July 97, the skin of the feet was described as intact, warm, dry, no discoloration, inflammation, ulceration, or soft tissue swelling. None of the treatment records and none of the examiners characterized the skin condition as repugnant. As the disability is essentially confined to the skin of the feet and ankles, it was not extensively and exceptionally repugnant. The criteria for an increased rating under the old criteria are not shown. If that's not a characterization by the board of having examined all of the medical evidence and then having concluded that it was not exceptionally repugnant based on that medical evidence, what were they doing in those sentences?
I believe the board was trying to give reasons or bases, but did not do it adequately. I draw the court's attention to the language of 7806 in the portion preceding the last clause, exceptionally repugnant. In the rest of that regulation, they talk about many of these other factors that the board discusses here, whether or not the condition is extensive, whether or not there's exfoliation, etc. But the clause, or exceptionally repugnant, stands alone. So here we have the board discussing all of the other factors that would give rise to a 50% disability rating, and then concluding, and it's not exceptionally repugnant. Moreover, in contrast to the 97 examination to the 98 examination, it becomes apparent that Mr. Kruzinski's condition had worsened during that time frame. And certainly he would be entitled to consideration of whether or not staged ratings were appropriate under the Fenderson line of cases, such that in 97 he might be entitled to the 30% or even a 0% disability rating, but as of September 1998, he may be entitled to 50% disability rating. Now, I did not argue this as a point in my briefing, but it does certainly go to the prejudice of the board's analysis and whether or not there is prejudicial error.
Mr. Weshey, the sentence that Judge Mormon just quoted, the conclusion, actually, on the part of the board, as the disability is essentially confined to the skin of the feet and ankles and is not extensive or exceptionally repugnant, the criteria for an increased rating under the old criteria not shown. If the board had indicated that it was not exceptionally repugnant because it wasn't shocking to sight, would that be the reasons and basis that is missing? Would that supply the reasons and basis that's missing?
Something
along those lines?
I think that would be closer. Certainly, if the board was to say the term repugnant is defined as repulsive, causing someone to reel away, whatever it may want to choose as the definition there, and says that the board finds, as a matter of fact, that it does not meet that definition of repugnancy, therefore it cannot be exceptionally repugnant, then that would be sufficient for a judicial review and maybe sufficient to meet the standard. But certainly would be, I think the better reasons or bases would be if the board was to base it on the facts of the case. And I believe the Hood case actually stands for that proposition, where you have to compare the evidence to the standard and explain why this evidence does not meet this standard and explain how you apply that evidence to the standard at hand.
But here the board is saying that the disability is confined to the skin of the feet and ankles and it wasn't extensive.
That again goes to the first part of the 7806 regulation, I would submit, where it actually talks about whether the eczema under 7806 is extensive. But as I pointed out earlier, the criteria for extensive skin condition or exceptionally repugnant skin condition are alternative ways of reaching the 50% rating.
And so, am I to conclude that because you would exclude those words from consideration as potentially supporting a finding that it was exceptionally repugnant, that you would exclude all the words that preceded the or as having any impact on whether or not there was exceptional repugnance?
I think, Your Honor, that might be, let me phrase the argument this way. It's unclear exactly what the board was saying there. It might have been saying that the fact that it's not extensive speaks to its repugnancy. Or it might have been saying the fact that it's not extensive speaks to that standard under 7806 without applying it to whether or not it's repugnant.
So if the board reiterated all of the medical evidence in detail and then said because of the foregoing it is not exceptionally repugnant, that would meet the test? Are we really arguing about whether or not they said because?
No,
they didn't say because?
They did not say because in this case. They did lay out the evidence as you stated, and they do make the conclusion. But there's nothing here that explains why it came to that conclusion. It doesn't say, we believe the board finds that this evidence rises to the level of exceptional repugnance or does not rise to the level of exceptional repugnance because it does not exhibit X, Y, and Z. And that, again, is the standard that the Hood case set out, which is a very, very similar case to this one.
But Counselor, aren't we asking the board to basically prove the negative? I mean, their proposition is this is not exceptionally repugnant under the subjective standard, in my opinion, as a board member.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're asking them to continue to basically prove the negative.
I'm asking the board to explain how it came to its conclusion. If something is not exceptionally repugnant, then there has to be some explanation of what may be exceptionally repugnant in the board's eyes, such that you can assess, well, if exceptionally repugnant would require extensive oozing and bleeding and extensive X, Y, and Z standards that they're going to look for in somebody's condition, and then they say that this doesn't reach that level, then that would be sufficient, in, I believe, to meet the board's reasons or basis requirement for the determination of whether or not this is exceptionally repugnant. Again, it is a subjective standard, and it's hard to determine how the board came to that conclusion without it explaining why. And certainly in the absence of the board explaining why and to what would have met it, what did not meet it, this court's review is frustrated. And certainly Mr. Brzezinski can't understand how it came to its conclusion. As he argued to the board, Mr. Brzezinski, through his counsel, believed that the September 1998 examination firmly established that the condition was exceptionally dependent. So in the absence of an explanation of why it isn't, we can't understand how the board came to that conclusion. And as a secondary note, although the argument was abandoned, I would like just to point out one quick point, and that is that here the board itself actually did look at the medical evidence to see, determine whether or not the doctors had assessed whether or not it was exceptionally pungent, and said that no doctor had said so. So there is at least some view of the board here that the board thought that medical evidence was necessary and was looking for that to inform its conclusion, but it simply was not here, one way or the other. So we can't even look at the medical evidence to determine whether or not the medical evidence would have supported it, because the medical evidence didn't say one way or the other, as the board found.
Let me see if I follow the last part of your argument here. Because no doctor said it was not exceptionally repugnant, you would argue that there's no basis for the decision that it was not exceptionally repugnant, notwithstanding the medical evidence that at least on three occasions out of the four that he was examined, there was no oozing, there was no bleeding, there was no cracking, there was no eczema, there was no thickening of the skin on the sole of the feet, there was no involvement with the ankle, and that every time that he had an outbreak, he applied this Silanine cream, and within 2 days it cleared up. Is that your argument?
I see my time is up. May I answer your question?
Please.
The point is that we can't even begin to look at the board's basis for its decision vis-a-vis what the doctors determined. Because the doctors didn't say one way or the other whether it's exceptionally dependent, we cannot take the examiner's lack of findings with regard to dependency and try to use that to support the board's finding of dependency or lack of dependency. There simply is no correlation between the board's ultimate finding and the doctor's ultimate findings, because they simply don't exist. And that was the point I was trying to make, Your Honor. And for these reasons, the court should vacate the August 14, 2008 board decision and remand the matter to the board for it to enter a new decision that provides an adequate statement of reasons or basis for its determination with regard to Mr. Brzezinski's dependency of the skin condition.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Elizabeth Long for the Secretary. Your Honors, the Secretary submits that the August 14, 2008 board decision on appeal was correctly decided, that the board provided an adequate statement of reasons or basis. Based on the board's statement that that none of the medical evidence characterized the appellant's condition was repugnant, and the Secretary submits that that is not actually the board relying on the medical determination, but in fact the board was looking for if there's any sort of characterization of exceptional repugnance. So it's not necessary for the medical examiner to state there's exceptional repugnance, as that is an objective term is what the parties have agreed to, and the regulatory history supports that finding. Now, the Secretary also submits that the supplemental authorities that the appellant submitted are not applicable, specifically the Hood case. In that case, the board simply stated that this was the standard and it did not rise to it, whereas in this case, the board gave an adequate discussion of all the evidence of record, explaining, as we discussed before, the 1997 medical examination and the 1998 medical examination, and the board considered all that evidence, discussed the evidence, noted that there was no characterization of repugnance in the evidence, and then concluded that because his condition was located primarily on his foot and ankles, that it did not rise to the level of exceptional repugnance.
So where did the board ever try to define this standard of exceptional repugnance that it apparently was trying to apply?
Yeah, the board defined it by looking at the evidence record to see if there was any sort of characterization of the effect of his ankle condition.
What if one of the doctors had said, this is really ugly?
Yeah, that would be something that the board would consider in determining whether or not it was
acceptable. But the board said, we don't find exceptional repugnance. Weren't they looking for specific words?
No, the board stated that none of the medical examiners characterized the evidence as repugnant. So the board was not looking for a specific statement of exceptional repugnance, as that is a term of art that's not just a magic word that can be uttered in order to get you a 50% rating under 7806. The board was looking for any sort of evidence.
But how do we know that? Where did the board say that that's what it was doing?
The board stated it when it said it was looking for any sort of characterization of exceptional repugnance.
That's not exactly what the board said, though. What the board said was we don't find that anybody characterized it as exceptional repugnance. As a matter of fact, they said none of the treatment records and none of the examiners characterized the skin condition as repugnant. Doesn't that say that they were looking for some magic word?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the board stated that it characterized it as exceptional repugnance, but none of the examiners characterized it as repugnant, meant that the board was not looking for a simple statement as exceptional repugnant. Is that not a medical determination, but a term of art or a subjective determination to be made by someone judging the appellant's condition?
And I think both parties agree on that, that it's a subjective determination. But doesn't the board still have an obligation under its reasons or bases obligation, its statutory reasons or bases obligation, to provide a thorough rationale as to every part of its decision that is material to the outcome?
Well, it does. The board did that by, again, going through the medical evidence, and there is no, upon this point, no medical evidence, and there is no medical evidence in the record aside from the 1998 medical examination that appellant states is shows exceptional repugnance. There is no other evidence shows exceptional repugnance. So there was no other evidence for the board to discuss about exceptional repugnance. It had the 1997 examination, the 1998 examination that gave a description of his condition at that time, and none of that characterized any of his evidence in terms of the board determined was exceptional repugnant.
I'll tell you what I'm having trouble with, counsel, and that is in reading medical reports, you seldom see doctors putting in their notes, this is really nasty, this is really ugly, this grosses me out, or anything that you might term as something that would characterize a condition as exceptionally repugnant. So is the absence of such a comment really a basis for making a conclusion without stating a rationale?
Well, Your Honor, the board also noted the location of his condition, which was the foot and ankle, which would again lean towards the determination of whether or not it was exceptionally repugnant as a subjective term, and therefore would not be a medical determination to be made, but in fact a reaction someone would have to his condition. And the way that the diagnostic codes are set up to compensate a veteran are to compensate an average loss of earning capacity. And in this case, an exceptional repugnant eczema condition that would have an effect on a veteran's average earning capacity in the workplace would be something that would be a reaction someone would have.
Counsel, just to follow up on that, looking for a very basic explanation by the board, how would we end the sentence, the disability is not exceptionally repugnant because?
Because none of the evidence characterized as repugnant and of its location on the foot and ankle in a non-visible location, so that it would not have an effect on appellant's interaction with the public in his work environment. Because, Your Honor, the diagnostic code 7806 the first part, the ulceration, extensive exfoliation, crust pain, and systemic or nervous manifestations would be a description of the active symptoms of the disease process of eczema. So a veteran could be compensated for 50% if they displayed those symptoms, which the board determined appellant did not based on the 1998 transition, the other medical. It also has four exceptional repugnant.
if you look at this in the context of the
entire skin regulations, 4.118, Diagnostic Code 7800 is for scars, disfiguring of head, face, or neck. At that time, a veteran could receive a 50% rating if they had complete or exceptionally repugnant deformity of one side of the face or marked or repugnant bilateral disfigurement. So in that case, Your Honor, under scars, you would be rated because you would have some sort of a disfiguring mark on your head, face, or neck. It would be presumably distracted to a veteran, but a veteran having a presumably distracted condition on their face that would detract from their ability to earn a living, that would impact the veteran's job prospects, such as they were working in customer service or they weren't allowed to work up front in their job because they had this condition, a scar on their face. Similarly, under 7806, if you take away the first four conditions, which are the symptomatic conditions of eczema, so if you are exceptionally itchy or you have a lot of broken skin, and that will interfere with the veteran's ability to earn a living because the veteran couldn't sit for 8 hours a day or had to go home because of whatever the manifestation of the condition was. Or if the veteran had the condition on its face or his or her face, which wasn't necessarily a scar, but was again as distracting as a scar would be. So in that case, 706 would compensate a veteran for a mark on their face, even if it didn't rise to the level of a scar, but again would be as presumably as impeding as a scar would be.
What is the best evidence to demonstrate exceptional repugnance?
The best evidence would be the location, as it is a subjective determination that's made in the context of what the veteran should be compensated for their loss of earning capacity. So it would be something that would detract as presumably a marked disfigurement on the head, face, or neck, while not a condition that requires you to itch or not sit to perform your job, would be something that would interfere with your interaction with the public.
I'm talking about evidence. One piece of evidence.
And, Your Honor, it could be in the form of lay statements or, again, a medical professional commenting on the location and severity of the disfigurement. And, again, a lay person could do that, too, as it's a subjective determination. It's a reaction someone would have to the condition on the veteran's face versus a description of the symptoms.
Would a picture help?
A picture could also be used as evidence as well, but prior to 2002, a picture was not required under the diagnostic code.
Counselor, maybe I misunderstood you some, but you're talking about earning capacity. You're talking about a counter person. You're talking about a person who's in sales, so forth and so on. Well, how about the person that works in the assembly line? In fact, the thickening of the soles of the feet that take place, apparently there was some bleeding and some other discomfort, which might impact upon one's ability to work on the assembly line, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So how come we're talking about facial scars and people who are in sales and things of that nature? It is conceivable that Mr. Brzezinski would have had his earning capacity impaired as a result of his condition, although there's no evidence of that. Isn't that true?
Yes, Your Honor. If he had some sort of condition that prevented him from standing for a long period of time, that would be something that would be considered. But as it's not compensated under 7806 for the conditions listed, it would be something that could be an extra schedule requirement because the diagnostic codes are set up to do the average earning capacity. So, of course, not every profession requires interaction with the public. Some require you standing all day long. Some require you behind a computer. So it's the average earning capacity. And again, it would be something for the rating specialist to determine if the veteran's appearance due to his disfiguring eczema would be something that could impact his ability to earn a living.
But at the same time, the individual who had to be on his or her feet, you're telling me that would require an extra scheduler rating?
Your Honor, if his eczema, if the veteran's eczema led to if there was evidence that he couldn't stand, that would not be something that was contemplated under the 7806 eczema criteria. So perhaps he would be rated under a different diagnostic code that would be compensated for the more predominant disability if it was the inability to stand or walk long distances versus the ulceration or extensive exfoliation that would occur.
Well,
think early on, counsel, you made a statement that Hood didn't apply, and by implication, neither did Cox apply, neither did McGee apply. Could you walk me through why you think those cases are not for application here?
Yes, Your Honor. In Hood, it was for a diagnostic code for 4.132 for a psychiatric condition, and in this case, it was under the terms total, severe, considerable, and mild were quantitative terms, and I believe there was supplemental briefing that was required in that, and the secretary did not have a definition for what definite was, other than between considerable and mild. And in this case, we've already determined that exceptionally repugnant is a subjective term, while not specifically defined as a term that is based on the reaction that your condition, that the veteran's condition has on others, in terms of it being on the head, face, or neck. And also in this case, the board gave an adequate description. The board didn't simply state, this is what the diagnostic has said, the veteran is not exceptionally repugnant, therefore no higher rating. The board discussed all the medical evidence of record, noted there was no characterization of exceptional repugnant, noted the position of the location of the condition on the veteran's body.
But the court in Hood, specifically in trying to resolve this absence of a good solid definition, sent the case back to the board to explain why the appellant's symptoms did not fill the criteria, or did not fit the criteria for a higher rating. And that's really what we're dealing with here, isn't it? It's the whole question here is whether or not, given the medical evidence that we're dealing with, the board sufficiently articulated A, what it meant by exceptional repugnance, so that we could review whether or not the board was correct according to the appropriate legal standard, which is our job, or what evidence supported that conclusion. Now, we've alluded to a couple of things, and I've even suggested a couple of things that might lead you to conclude that the board offered some support. But if you read the words that the board used, it is a cause for concern, and I need for you to explain to me why we shouldn't be concerned, that the board doesn't seem to link together those particular symptoms with any kind of a useful definition to reach a clearly stated conclusion as to why it found no exceptional repugnance here. Dissect that for me, if you would, please.
Yes, Your Honor. As stated, the board went through all the evidence and it discussed what the 1998 medical examination said, which was the bleeding, the oozing from his throat, and the scaling. The board then stated that they characterized that there was no discussion of repugnance of his condition. So the board noting that there was no, this description doesn't give any sort of description of exceptional repugnance of his eczema at that time. And then the board also noted the 97 examination, his feet appeared to be warm, dry, on touch, I believe, was the condition. It was not, it didn't have the problems that was noted in 1998. So the board reviewing that evidence, reviewing all the evidence of record, which there is no other evidence describing whether or not his condition, the veteran described his condition as exceptional repugnant. The board then concluded that there was no evidence of exceptional repugnance, and then noted that due to his location on his foot and ankle, that there was not exceptional repugnance.
So does it all turn on the fact that the board said due to its location on his foot and ankle, that it's not exceptionally repugnant?
Yeah, no, based on the Secretary's interpretation of the diagnostic codes, it would be that exceptional repugnant under 7806 prior to 2002 would require a visible head, face, or neck condition as it does under 7800? Is it the disfiguring scars for head, face, or neck?
Say that again, please.
Your Honor, appellant's condition of his, or appellant's location of his eczema on his foot and ankle under 7806 at that time would not be rated as exceptionally repugnant as it's in a non-exposed area that would not have an impact on the veterans.
Okay, I thought you said that it was the secretary's position that it had to be on the head or neck. Maybe I misunderstood.
Head, face, or neck. Yes, sir. Well, as the diagnostic codes for 7800 are the scars, head, face, or neck.
But isn't this case being rated by analogy?
Your Honor, I believe it was rated under 7806.
Right.
Yes. But the language of 7806, as I explained earlier, the purpose of 7800, which is the scars of the head, face, or neck, was to compensate based on the appearance of the scar on the head, face, or neck. Any sort of symptoms described for a scar, so you could be rated, a veteran would be rated under that for a disfiguring mark that may not necessarily impede them working 8 straight hours at a time, but would have an impact on the veteran's interaction with the public. And also, 7806 is designed to do that as well. Even though eczema may not be a scar, it could still have a equally as disfiguring mark. They would have the same sort of impact on the veteran's ability to obtain a living.
So it's the secretary's position. I want to make sure I've got this right. It's the secretary's position that because 7806 comes under within the broad spectrum of 7800 scars, disfiguring head, face, or neck, that those few introductory words govern everything else that follows? Is that accurate, or are you saying something else?
The introductory words of 7806... the exceptional repugnance?
No, I'm trying to pin down whether or not you're saying the only way you get exceptionally repugnant is if it involves eczema on the head, face, or neck.
Yes, Your Honor, it does.
And can you cite any case authority for that?
Well, the regulatory history of 7806 and the diagnostic codes for skin regulations lay out the support for the alignment of 7800 with 7806 in terms of rating 50% for a disfiguring scar versus a 50% for exceptionally repugnant of eczema. In the 1993 proposed regulations, when the proposed regulations were published, it stated that the changes to 7806 were non-substantive and they were for clarity and uniformity for the codes for the rating code for disfigurement. Because as I believe we've all agreed that the term exceptional repugnant is subjective, and VA realized that when they went to amend the regulations in 1993, realized that with subjective terms, it could lead to an inconsistent application of the rating code depending on the rating specialist rating the veteran, and VA wanted to explain the subjective terms and make it easier for the rating specialist to consistently apply. So therefore, the diagnostic code for 7800 and 7806 and the proposed regulations mirrored each other with a 50% rating.
But there's nothing in 7806 that says anything about head, face, or neck. Is there?
No, not in the language of the diagnostic code, no.
I'm just having trouble making that leap, counsel, from one to the other. To be perfectly candid, if you can help me, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir. The leap would be in order to not read 7806 solely in a vacuum, but to consider it for the other rating codes. Whereas prior to 2002, a veteran would not get a rating you couldn't get a rating under SCARS if you did not have a SCAR. It would not be compensable. So, in order.
Go ahead.
If your eczema was not a SCAR, but some sort of. A veteran's eczema was not a SCAR, but some sort of residual of. The eczema.
So if we follow through on Mr. Reshi's example, that this eczema was so bad that it leaked through the sock and soaked his pants leg, and I suspect that if I gave him the opportunity, he would say that it also evidenced bleeding and perhaps even emitted an odor, that that could not qualify as exceptionally repugnant?
No, Your Honor.
Because it's on the wrong part of the body?
No, Your Honor. Again, that would be something if it was so horrible with those other conditions of destroying his pant leg due to the oozing, that would be something that would be an extra schedule consideration. It is not contemplated by the diagnostic code.
Counselor, having gone on that verbal odyssey, if that in fact was the board's finding or the rating specialist's finding, why didn't he tell Mr. Brzezinski, you don't have it on the face, you don't have it on the neck, so therefore you're out of the ballgame?
Your Honor, the board member was on, it said as it's on his foot and ankle, which would note the location.
And wouldn't that lead Mr. Brzezinski to believe that he was on the right track in terms of having his condition rated? Rather than the rating specialist saying, no, you can't be rated for this condition under this section because it's only for the head and the face and the neck?
Yes, Your Honor, but the board noted its location on the foot and ankle would be the board's consideration that it's not on the head, face, or neck, the exposed part of the body that would be contemplated under 7806 for
if your interpretation were adopted, then it would seem to me that the rating specialist and the VA would have an obligation to tell the veteran that you're making application under a wrong section and we ought to look at it under some other section of our regulations.
In this case, Mr. Brzezinski hasn't pointed to any other code that he felt he should have been rated under.
Is it his responsibility alone?
It is not, Your Honor, no. But
aren't you guys the professionals? Aren't you guys the folks that write the regulations?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And don't you have a duty to assist?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
And a duty with the board to advise as well?
Yes, Your Honor. Are there any further questions?
Can you point me to any authority other than the assertions that have been made here today for this proposition that 7800, those words, head, face, or neck, apply to everything that starts out 7-8 in the diagnostic code?
Your Honor, the 1995 regulations, if you look at the 7806 for eczema, so it has that laid out, and then it has 7807 through 7819, which are for various other conditions that you can be rated, that the veteran can be rated under. And that has a note that unless otherwise provided, rate code 7807 through 7819, as for eczema, dependent on location, extent, and repugnant or otherwise disabling character of manifestation. Therefore, directing the rating specialist at the time to refer to eczema based on the location. Therefore, if it's located on head, face, or neck, it could be rated as exceptionally repugnant. Versus had the note indicated that the rating specialist could refer to 7800 for scars of the head, face, or neck to rate based on the location. So with that language in there, it directs a rating specialist to go to 7806 for these other 12 conditions based on the location of the condition. And therefore, a veteran could obtain a rating if any of these conditions produce some sort of a disfiguring mark on the head, face, or neck.
Point me to a note again one
time. I'm sorry, Your Honor. It is the second to last note under 7819, which is the last diagnostic code, new growth, benign skin, and then the third line down.
I may not have it before me. Benign skin neoplasm? No, that's not it either.
Believe right below that, two below.
Okay. Well, I don't want to. Oh, okay. Hey, give me the citation one more time for the record. I don't want to take up any more.
Of course, sir. Do you want me to just read it again?
Go ahead.
Unless otherwise provided, rate code 7807 through 7819 as for eczema, dependent on location, extent, and repugnant or otherwise disabling character of manifestations. Your Honor, in the 2002 regulation, when it was actually changed, it was noted that now for eczema and other conditions, it was now to be referred to a rating for scars, if that was a predominant disability. Therefore, removing this note, taking away, as exceptionally repugnant is no longer in the current regulation, taking away the reference to eczema and a rating for head, face, or neck for exceptionally repugnant and directed directly to scars. Whereas prior to 2002, a rating specialist would go to eczema to rate based on the location of that condition. And, Your Honor, also this would, Secretary submits that this reading would prevent an absurd result in the fact that regardless of the size and the location of a manifestation of eczema, a disfigured mark, if it was a quarter size manifestation located on the back, that a veteran would be rated 50% for that versus a veteran who may not get a rating of 50% for head, face, or neck disfigurement, which is not what the rating codes were contemplated to compensate for.
All right. Judge Davis?
Your Honor, the Secretary submits that the board's decision determining that a rating in excess of 30% was not warranted prior to 2002 should be affirmed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Enlighten us as to what your position is with regard to this last discussion that we've had, Mr. Weshy, if you would, please.
Certainly, Your Honors. The first point is that under 7806, as the court properly noted, there is no reference to any particular location on the body within the criteria for the 50% rating. However, if you look down into the lower ratings for the 10% and the 0%, the Secretary does point out what he means by the location on the body. And for the 0%, it's in a non-exposed area, and the 10%, it's for an exposed area. But those criteria don't appear in the 50% rating at all. And the court should presume that the Secretary knows how to write his regulations and knows how the court will interpret and construe them, such that if words then appear in one part of a regulation and do not appear in another part of the regulation, there is an intent to exclude them from that second part. So here, the Secretary, knowing full well that under 7800, he was talking about the head, face, and neck. And the 7806, there's no reference to head, face, or neck there. So therefore, the Secretary is affirmatively excluding that from consideration under 7806. Therefore, it doesn't need to be on the head, face, or neck. Secondly, inside of 7806 itself, the Secretary does not include either exposed or not exposed under the criteria for 50% rating. So therefore, the Secretary specifically excluded those from consideration there. Therefore, there doesn't make a difference under the regulation, the proper read, where this condition exists on the body. And the Secretary's own regulation says so. And in fact, because the Secretary is the expert in writing these regulations, it can be presumed that that's exactly what he intended to do. Furthermore, 7806 refers to a disease process, which is eczema. And as Judge Mormon properly pointed out, this condition was rated by analogy. Mr. Buzinski does not have eczema. He has lichen simplex chronicus, which is a condition that is not under the diagnostic codes, and therefore they had to rate him by analogy to a condition that closely approximates the symptomatology and locality of the condition and how it would affect a person in their average employment. Therefore, Mr. Buzinski really should not be held to the absolute strict application of the regulation, and there should be some fluidity here because his condition is not the one that the regulations are rating him for. It's an analogous condition. Turning to the one point that Judge Mormon had made about the doctors saying, is this ugly? And the point that doctors rarely say that. Here, the board was looking for that kind of evidence and obviously did not find that kind of evidence. Mr. Brzezinski believes that it would be appropriate for a doctor to look at that and to make such an assessment if he was so inclined to do so.
and the board may properly look at that to form the board's conclusion. However, the board certainly is not bound by that conclusion, but may be persuaded by it in its weight of the evidence, determines whether or not it's probative and persuasive. But certainly in the absence of any kind of an explanation, as the court properly noted, of how it came to the conclusion of whether or not there was exceptional repugnance in Mr. Brzezinski's case, the court's review is frustrated, and certainly Mr. Brzezinski cannot understand the precise basis for that determination.
Mr. Weshey, if the rating schedule is designed to represent as far as can practicably be determined the average impairment of earning capacity,
uh-huh.
In that 1998 medical examination, the one that listed the most dramatic set of symptoms, the examiner also said that the veteran had reported that it has not affected his work, family, or romantic life. How do you address that 1998 examination, which had these dramatic findings with regard to the physical manifestations mm-hmm. of his condition, with the assessment the doctor made at that time that the veteran himself had reported that it had not affected his work, family, or romantic life?
There are certainly two ways of addressing that. First would be that the medication that he takes, as it was noted in the record, takes care of it within a couple of days when it flares up. But that's not really the key point here. The key point with regard to the average impairment of employment is an average employment across all civil professions and across all veterans. It's a standard that's not specific to any one particular veteran. So even though Mr. Brzezinski, in his particular case, did not have, as he stated in that examination, any effect on his personal life or his employment, that's not even a relevant consideration here. The consideration is the objective standards under 7806, or in this case, the subjective standard under 7806, and whether or not Mr. Brzezinski, regardless of how it actually affects him, whether or not it would, if an average veteran in an average employment situation would be, with the same condition, would be at a 50% rating, or a 30% rating, or a 10% rating. And that's the entire intent under Section 1155 of the U.S. Code.
Did you have anything further, Mr.
I actually do not have anything further. So if you have any other questions for me?
No, I don't believe you do.
No. Well, for these reasons, the board decision should be vacated and the matter returned for adequate standing of reasons basis. Thank you.
Thank you. Case will be submitted for consideration and the court will come down and greet counsel.
All right. Thank you everyone for your attention. Go ahead and have a seat, and we're going to be rejoined by the judges for question and answers.
Very nice job. I hope it's pretty often enough.
It is.
It's one of those things where you know what it's like.